We shall now turn to the 14th chapter of Hosea, and our text for this evening is verse 4, Hosea 14, verse 4. I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. This week I was speaking to a Christian from another church. He said to me, we never hear sermons on backsliding. It made me think, surely this is a very important subject. It's something that affects us all. Every Christian, to some extent, backslides. And some Christians backslide dreadfully. I wonder, are you a backslider? Could you be a backslider tonight? Backsliding is a huge danger and brings terrific pain. Yet there is hope. This verse says to us, I will heal their backslidings. This is what the Lord is saying to us. He's saying, I will heal. That should encourage us. So first of all, tonight I want us to think on what is backsliding. The Christian life begins with conversion, with a new birth. And then it's a progress from there, onwards and upwards to heaven. Backsliding is when you're no longer progressing, but you're slipping back. Think of climbing a hill and slipping down. I remember some years ago climbing in the Coolans in Skye and standing on scree and being amazed at how I slid down the hill on the scree. How quickly, how easily. If we're climbing up the hill, if we stand on the scree, back down we go again. And no matter what effort, you cannot make progress if you're standing on the scree. That's a picture for us. Or we could think of the Christian life as a pilgrimage, a journey. A journey to the celestial city, to heaven. But then backsliding is when you're going backwards instead of forward. Instead of making headway, you're going in the opposite direction. Sometimes the Christian life is compared to warfare. Backsliding is retreating rather than going onwards to victory. Think of a plane. A plane is flying through the sky. It can't stop. If it slows down and stops, what happens? It falls. We have to keep on going. We cannot go backward. We must go forward. We must keep on going. That's the Christian life. Growing in grace. Persevering, running the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, pressing on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Backsliding? How do we backslide? There you are, a Christian, born again, setting off on the Christian road. You love the Lord. You are a true Christian. Yes, you have been born again. You do trust in Jesus. You have repented of your sins. But then, bit by bit, something starts to go wrong. Bit by bit, you slip back. Perhaps it's the old sins that you had before you were converted. Maybe you had a liking for drink, and you start drinking again. It's so tragic. So tragic when you see somebody, perhaps they were an alcoholic and they were converted, and they left drink behind, and then maybe years later they start taking a little. I'm a Christian now, I can handle it. And before long, our life is in a mess. One leads to two, and two to three, and soon they're in big trouble. Perhaps it's an immoral relationship. Again, begins so easily to slip, to slide, to allow a person a place in our lives that that person shouldn't have. Forgetfulness, and then indulgence, backsliding. Perhaps it's internet pornography. So easy, so available. Nobody's watching. And there you are and you get caught by it. And how destructive. Destructive in every way. Socially. Morally. Spiritually. Sin. These sins that come into our lives. Backsliding. What did Jesus say? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Oh, but I'm a Christian. I'm converted. I'm a good Christian. I'm all right. I'm safe. I'm secure. Are you? Who told you you were safe and secure? Remember, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So out there, there's an angry lion, or something far worse, an angry devil looking to destroy your soul. Watch and pray. Beware. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It's so easy to fall. Or maybe it's covetousness that comes into your life. The love of money. You were converted, you were all excited about the Christian life. And everything was going fine, and you were reading your Bible, and you were praying, and you were witnessing for the Lord. And covetousness. The love of money, which is the root of all evil. Material things, acquiring them. Wanting more of this, more money. Money, job, promotion, success. How easily these things fill the heart, dominate the life, and lead to backsliding. In some ways, it's amazing that one of the commandments is, thou shalt not covet. You would think covetousness is really quite a little sin compared with murder and stealing and adultery. But covetousness is such a dreadful sin. And it's such a common sin. And it's the sort of sin that people excuse. And they think, oh, I'm such a good family man, providing for my family. Oh, I'm so sensible about things. I'm just being a wise person and I'm working and I'm contributing to help other people and poor people and giving to charity. And all the time, the love of money leading you away from the love of God. Worldliness is another problem. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. Are you a worldly person? Has worldliness got in? Worldly interests, worldly desires, worldly ambitions, worldly values, worldly pleasures. Worldliness. Are you a worldly person? Again, The world is the enemy of God. And the world wants to make you in its own image. And God wants to make you in His image. And whose image are you going to be in? Renewed in the image of God in knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness. Or backsliding into the image of the world. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Think of the Israelites going through the wilderness. Things seemed to be going so well. They all went through the Red Sea. They saw this mighty miracle. The waves of the seas opened up. The water on either side. They went through on dry land. The Egyptians following them were destroyed. And then when they were hungry, God gave them manna from heaven. When they were thirsty, He brought water for them out of the rock. And what happened? After a while, they longed for the flesh pots of Egypt. The fish and the onions and the garlic and the things that they had in Egypt. We just got this manna, this light bread. And the angels' bread, the angels' food that they had, they despised, lusting after the sinful delights of their unconverted days. What about you? Backsliding? Backsliding comes with a neglect of Christian duties and discipline. It starts in the secret place. Secret prayer. Secret prayer becomes something not very important. Or something that's reduced to a minimum. Secret reading of the Scriptures. Your quiet time. Your time alone with God is reduced and diminished and devalued. What a weakening that is. And it's followed then by a lack of interest in the public means of grace too. And a carelessness perhaps in attending the prayer meeting. It's so easy to backslide. Unless we are watching constantly. Unless we are prayerful. Unless we are searching the Scriptures daily and seeking the will of the Lord and asking God, show me Thy ways, lead me in Thy truth, direct me in the path that I should follow, help me to see where I'm going wrong, keep me from taking that first step that leads backward. Yes, we must read the Bible and read good books, and we must be praying, and we must remember that our first priority is our souls. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if anything else gets the first place in your life, backsliding has begun. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. And go on striving all your life. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's a struggle. The Christian life is not easy. But we're told there's a great reward ahead. And there's a rest that remains for the people of God. But that rest is not in this life. In this life we must wrestle, fight and pray. And only in that way will we keep on going and end up in heaven. Sometimes backsliding occurs when Christians are going through trials and troubles. And they begin to grumble and complain against God. And instead of saying, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord, they're saying, why Lord? Why me? Why am I going through this? Why this difficulty? Why this pain? Why this persecution? It's not fair. And so from grumbling And from discontentedness come the steps of backsliding, slipping down that slippery slope. Think of the churches in Asia that we're told about in the book of Revelation. I could mention three of these churches. Ephesus, very orthodox, involved in lots of good work. I know thy works. I know thy faith. I know all that you do, says Christ to the church at Ephesus. And you are so diligent. Yes, and you're good at even disciplining those who go astray. You're such a good church. But there's just one thing missing. And it's one thing that's so vital. You have left your first love. You used to love me. You used to be enthusiastic and excited about me. But you've grown cold. Is that true of you? Have you left your first love? Have other loves come into your heart and choked your love for Christ? The church at Sardis. The church at Sardis had a name that had lived and was dead. There's the backsliding again. The outward show, the sham was there, the outward practices, the outward religion, but there was no life in it. There was no vitality. It was all just a ritual. Is your religion just a ritual? Just a show? You come to church, you do what's required of you, but the heart's not in it. A name that you live and are dead. Or the church at Laodicea. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And you know not that you are poor and wretched and blind and naked. That you are lukewarm. You ought to be on fire for me. But instead, you're opulent. You're flabby and fat and full of riches and prosperity and luxury and everything. And you think, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And you're lukewarm, and I will spew you out of my mouth. Backsliding. Are you a lukewarm Christian? Half-hearted Christian? So we've looked then at what is backsliding. Now, secondly, I would like us to think about the dangers of backsliding. First of all, what starts small and in secret and in the soul gradually becomes bigger and gradually comes out into the open. One sin leads to another. One step backward leads to a second step and a third step. And every step leads us further and further away from Christ. It's going in the wrong direction. Serious. Let us remember how backsliding doesn't normally involve just one big sin out of the blue. Normally it starts with little steps, leading to big destructive steps. Think of David. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. David, the man after God's own heart. David, the great Christian. But then there came a time in his life. He was getting a bit older. And getting a bit complacent. He was wealthy and successful. And he lived in his palace and he had all his pleasures. And he was forgetting God. And his armies were out fighting with the Ammonites, that he was at home, lying on his bed in the middle of the day. And then he gets up. And in a very short time, he's committing adultery with Uriah's wife. How quickly it happened. And then in order to cover up the adultery, he murders Uriah. The whole thing becoming a horrid mess. He thought he could cover it up. And the whole world knows about it. You cannot cover up sin. It's got a horrid tendency of coming out into the open. And there's nobody more infamous for their adultery than King David. Everyone who reads the Bible knows about it. How did it come about? Little steps, little things that were wrong, failure in looking after his soul, failure in watchfulness, laziness, carelessness, worldliness, pleasure-loving, not keeping up a good relationship with God, and then a horrid mess. And he suffered for it for the rest of his life. The sword shall not depart from thy house forever. Remember too that backsliding is a bad witness. People will see through us. They are great at discerning hypocrisy, especially those who are fairly close to us. And there's nothing that turns people against the Christian church more than hypocrisy. And how terrible it is to think that you should be the cause, or that I should be the cause, that somebody turns away from Christ and Christianity and ends up in hell. A stumbling block because of the inconsistency of our lives. They look at us and they say, it's just show. Great talks, plenty of words. But we know how you live. And we know what your heart is set on. We know how worldly you are. How pleasure-loving you are. We know your sins. There's nothing in your Christianity. It's just a lie. How terrible. How terrible that loved ones end up in hell because of our backslidings. How terrible if fellow Christians look at us, seeing us doing certain things, they are led into these same things themselves. And so they are led into backsliding. Backsliding is like a contagious disease that spreads from one to another. Low standards are caught from other Christians. You don't catch high standards from other Christians, but you catch low standards. High standards in the Christian life are a great effort, a great struggle. But low standards are easy. They do that, so why shouldn't we? He does that, why shouldn't I? I saw what she was doing. Well, must be all right. I'll do it too. The dangers of backsliding. The bad witness that it is to others, leading to them rejecting Christianity. And the bad witness it is to our fellow Christians, leading them also to backsliding and to sin. But there's something else about chastisement. Be sure about backsliding. That is chastisement. Be sure of this. If you go astray, if you fall away, if you are one of the Lord's people, you will be corrected for it. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And if God loves you, he'll chastise you. If you're not a Christian, then your conversion was just a make-believe thing. And God doesn't bother with you because you're not precious to him. But if you are a Christian, you are special and precious to the Lord. And he doesn't spoil his children. And he uses his rod to punish us. And it's very painful. In 1 Corinthians 11, we read about the Corinthians who at the Lord's table, while treating the Lord's table with contempt, lightly and superficially, not seriously and thoughtfully. And as a result, some were sick and others had died. Sickness and even death comes as chastisement from the Lord. Chastisement is painful. Sometimes it's a pain of death. And death under the judgment of God. And that's a serious thought. God's correction. No chastisement for the present is joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness to them who are exercised thereby. Backsliding. Dangers. Maybe you were never converted. If you are content to backslide, if you're not troubled about backsliding, it would seem to indicate that you were never converted. And the Christian who is in a backslidden condition has no right whatsoever to assurance of their salvation. Oh, I was converted years ago. How do you know? It could have been just a sham experience. A pretended experience that Satan gave you. You cannot put your trust in past experiences. Your trust must be in the living reality of your faith as you live walking with God. And it's only today's walk with God that gives us the comfort and the assurance of knowing that we are true Christians. As God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. So you've got no right to be assured of your salvation if you're backslidden. One more thing about backsliding. It grieves the Lord. And because it grieves the Lord, he withdraws his joyful presence from us. And the blessed experience of his comfort and his love. The joy unspeakable and full of glory that we knew is gone. The peace that passes knowledge is gone. The blessedness that we experience in prayer and in the scripture reading and in the worship of God and in our day-to-day experience, these things are gone. Because God and sin can't live together. And if we treasure sin in our hearts, God's presence is removed. The dangers then of backsliding. Backsliding leads to chastisement. It grieves the Lord and he withdraws from us. But finally, I want you to notice that there is hope. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. Here we have a great verse. The devil says, you're lost. You're finished. You've made a mess of your life. There's no hope for you. You might as well go away and commit suicide. Sometimes Christians do. It's shocking, and yet it does happen. We know that Hugh Miller, who was a great leader in the 19th century in the Free Church, he committed suicide. Willie Mullen, a great evangelist and preacher in Ireland, 50, 80 years ago, he too shot himself. The devil got the upper hand, backsliding. Perhaps, or maybe it was simply a case of severe mental illness. But it is dangerous. Satan loves us to backslide. And the moment you backslide, he's there saying, that's it, you've finished. You've made a mess of your life. God hates sin and God hates you. You might as well give up. You might as well go on and do more sins. You're going to hell anyway, so why not eat, drink and be merry? You've committed the unpardonable sin. Satan knows how to attack, to torment, to destroy. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Remember this verse. I will heal their backslidings. There's always hope. The Bible's full of hope. You're a backslider. Don't let Satan lie to you and say there is no hope. There is hope. As long as you are alive in this world, there is hope. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? Saith the Lord, why will you die when God is offering you life? Come to him in your sins and your need. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you will hear, if you will obey, return to the Lord. Come to him. Remember his mercy. I remember reading the story about Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones in Edinburgh, in London. You know how he preached for many years at Westminster Chapel. And there was a man there who had been a Christian and then had fallen into backsliding. And eventually had reached the point of despair. And had decided to go down to the Thames and throw himself off a bridge and end his miserable life. Satan loves to make you miserable. Backsliding always leads to misery. But on the way down to the Thames, he was passing the door of Westminster Chapel. And he thought, I'll just go in once more to the old church that I used to go to. The service had already begun. Dr. Lloyd-Jones was praying. And at that very point he prayed, Lord, remember the backslider. God's grace reached that backslider. He was caught by the words, continued on to listen to the service, and went on his way rejoicing in the glorious mercy of God. What a great God we have. Because this week I've been reading over about the atonement and different ways of looking at the atonement and how some people would speak of the atonement as the equivalent in some way of people's sin. And the thought was presented there in this book of the infinite value of the atonement. How great it is. How wonderful is the blood of Christ. The finished work. Who can measure its efficacy? Not only is it able to wash away the sins of all God's elect, but the atonement is so great. that it would wash away if God had chosen to use it for that effect. All the sins of all men that ever lived. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What a wonderful Lamb. What amazing blood. What washing and cleansing and purifying comes from the blood of Christ. No limit can be put upon the sufficiency, the efficacy of the atoning work of Christ. I will heal their backsliding. This is God's promise. And God does heal our backslidings. And He says, I will love them freely, not with constraint, not with restraint, but freely and fully and abundantly I will love them. This God that we have who loved us from all eternity, how can we sin against Him? How can we grieve Him? How can we go astray and backslide? I will love them freely. He is so loving. Return to Him. Remember the parable of the lost sheep, wandering on the mountains far away, and the shepherd leaving the 99 in the wilderness, goes searching for the lost sheep, and what does he do when he finds it? Does he beat it and whip it? No. He takes it up and places it on his shoulders and carries it home and says, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which I have lost. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Return. You have fallen. You have fallen far. You have fallen into sin and fallen into shame and fallen into misery. Return unto the Lord thy God. Take with you words. Turn to the Lord. Confess, pray, plead. Take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, so we will render the calves and the offerings of our lips. Asher, Assyria will not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. We won't look to people. We won't look to false gods. We look to thee, O God. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. In thee the orphan. In thee the needy. In thee the widow finds help and hope and support and salvation. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away. He is angry with us, as it were, but for a little time. And then He comes to us in the abundance of His love. Turn unto me, and I will return unto you. Chapter 13, verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help found. There is help. There is hope. And the sooner we come back to Him, the better. But maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. Well, I cannot finish the sermon without saying a word to you. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? If God chastises His own people, His beloved people, when they sin, what is going to happen to those who live a life of constant sin and rebellion? If judgment begin at the house of God, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? That's why it's so important to seek God now. To make your peace with Him today. He calls and He says, turn unto me. Come to me. Call upon me and I will answer you. Seek me and those that seek me shall find me.